Welcome to the Digital Marketing Masters Podcast with your host, Matt Rouse.
Hey, welcome everybody back to Digital Marketing Masters. I'm your host, Matt Rouse. My guest today is Vincent Valentine. How you doing, Vincent?
I'm doing great. How's your day been?
It has been kind of crazy. Got a flash snowstorm on the second day of spring here. But you're in Barcelona, right? So no snow
there?
Yeah,
Barcelona, Spain. Nice and sunny at the moment. Heading into spring. So yeah, it's beautiful Barcelona. Have you ever been to Barcelona?
I have not. I would like to.
Well, if you ever come over.
Hit some of the cafes and stuff there. I hear they have some good cafes, some good food, obviously. Nova Amazing. Scotia, you know, all we got here is lobsters the size of small dogs and, you know, scallops the size of baseballs. So that part is good also. But hey, let's talk for a minute about cognitive AI. Do you want to give us just maybe a quick once over on what you do, what cognitive AI is?
Yeah, I'm Vincent Valentine. I'm the CEO of Cognitive AI. We're a holding company that develops advanced AI solutions, basically.
Nice. I think a good example for somebody who's you know, what does that actually mean? A good example of that would be the art.ai. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, sure. We're developing multiple IPs at the moment, and the first one we're actually building is called art.ai. Nice short domain. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's a social media platform for social media for AI artists. So think of it a bit like Instagram,
right?
But it's just focused on AI creation. So the art isn't just for art; it's artificial, basically. So images, videos, music, anything 3D. You know, as AI evolves, there's going to be a lot more to offer on there, like with generating music, sound effects, voices. It's going to expand as AI grows as well. So the idea is basically you can create a profile, showcase your work, that people like what they see, they will follow you, just like Instagram, and you'll be able to download free of charge as well the images to use on your website, use on print material. So it's a bit like a Shutterstock as well, but only for AI-generated content. And with time, as we grow, we plan to monetize it to allow the AI creators to actually earn a living out of this as well. So they can start charging for prompts like microtransactions or even selling the art itself.
Right. And is that more like a kind of a creator economy based thing like you have on YouTube where you get a...
Yeah, it's
kind of thing.
Kind of. Yeah, we're still working on what we're going to do with it. But
right.
We kind of see it as like a hybrid. So it's a bit like Instagram mixed with Patreon mixed with Shutterstock. So it's kind of like a mix of all three of them. We're still very early in the build right now. So we're still deciding which direction we're going to go. But
you can just ask the AI what you're going to do.
Yeah, I've tried that. But
it takes a lot of prompting. It'll cheerfully tell you all the different things you should do, that each one is the best.
Exactly. I use AI a lot, and building the business plan was so much easier with GPT.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's insane what you can learn from this.
You know, one of my favorite things to do with ChatGPT is somebody sends me a document, right? They're like, oh, here's the agreement between our companies kind of thing. And I just pump it in there and say, tell me 5 things about this I need to know. Get the information I need and get out without having to skim a 30-page insurance document.
Exactly. Yeah. Even with contracts, it's great. You can use contracts in the past where you just throw it in there and say, what is the negative points to this document? And it will just list them for you instead of going through 40 pages of a document, which you don't have time for. It's just brilliant. I've stopped using GPT altogether now. I'm actually using Perplexity. I don't know if you've used that before.
I have, actually. I kind of find that I like Perplexity a lot. I built an entire kind of custom instruction set for GPT-4 that seems to make it better at following instructions. And it seems to work well for the uses that I have. If I need large context, I use Claude. And yeah, for other stuff, I use Perplexity. My daughter really likes Pi, but unfortunately, I don't know how long Pi is going to be around for. They just had a bit of a shuffle.
Yeah, this is kind of what inspired us to build Girlfriend was Pi, because is it DeepMind is involved with Pi or one of the developers?
The lead developer came from DeepMind, but he just went to open the new division from Microsoft.
Right. Okay.
And then a bunch of their staff jumped ship and went with them. So that's
unfortunate. Because Pi seems great, but I just don't see.
It's really good. They just don't have any way to monetize it, I think, is the problem. Mm-hmm. Like,
exactly. It's the voice, when you speak to it as well, there's always a little bit of a delay, I've noticed.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much solved. Like, if you look at something like Grok, like GROQ, the one Q, that's software, not the Elon Musk's BS
GPT. The LPUs, basically, where it's super quick. Yeah, I've been researching that,
so fast. If you guys have not seen that, Grok, look for Grok. You can see a demo of it online. You can go onto their site and you can use it. It is instantaneous. Like, you ask it a question and the answer's already there. Like, it seems it's not quite to the point where it knows what you're going to ask before you ask it, but that's probably the only way it would be faster.
Yeah, I did a test with it because you could use Mistral, you can use Llama 2 on there, and with the demo, you just have to ask it one single question, and it's like paragraph after paragraph in less than 1 second. It's it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I see the idea of how they're doing it, but the other thing that's really interesting is that it's using different hardware, right? Than
it GPU looks like when I've done my research into them, they're very cryptic of how they're actually doing it. So, is it an algorithm they're using just with hardware acceleration? I have no idea, but they're obviously keeping it under wraps.
Yeah, I think somebody I heard talking about it was saying that there's something about the way that it pipelines the information, and so they were using chips that are specifically for that task, but they didn't say what those chips were.
Yeah,
but I mean, they're probably just Intel server, you know, whatever the newest version of the Xeon is or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember now. I used to work at Intel. I can't remember. I should probably know that. Nice. But anyway, so you mentioned girlfriend.ai. Do you want to explain what that is?
Girlfriend AI is very Black Mirror right now. It's we've bought the domain girlfriend.ai, and we're building, it's safe for work for one. It's no adult content like most. But if you do research for AI girlfriends, they're very seedy, very adult-like.
Right.
We're totally the opposite from this. We're looking at ethics. We want AI to help the individual. So we're literally creating like the best AI girlfriend / companion for any male that is single trying to better themselves. So basically, we're using it to be a companion, but at the same time to push you to improve yourself. Now, if you improve your confidence in speaking to women, to going out and actually doing things, basically.
Interesting. When you say it makes people better, I mean, is it like, I know that you're talking about like mental state kind of thing, but is that, I mean, I guess the question is, how are you making them better? Or is it like just encouragement? Is it helping make good decisions? Well, or...
we have to create first thing, we need to get to know the individual because everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
So the onboarding procedure will be very personal, and the data that we store is very, very private. It's never leaked to anybody. So the first phase, what we're currently working on right now, is basically getting to know the individual. Asking about them, literally everything about the person, so it understands and how to speak to you. And in terms of like emotions as well, like we've found AI tech that we can use where we can detect in your voice of your current state as well. So if you're stressed, we should be able to detect that you're stressed and then try and de-stress you with, you know, based on what we're training the model with right now. Same way, if you're happy, to keep you elevated. If you're sad, we're using a lot of like therapy methods to actually help the individual better, become a better person, basically.
Right. How do you keep something like that from, I don't know, I guess like from going off the rails a bit, you know, because it's,
LLMs we have
are
kind of
known
be,
for doing that, right?
Yes, we're protecting the LLM with, we're basically wrapping each request so we can't And there's one thing what we can't do is instruct somebody to do something. Like, we can't say, you don't know if the LNM's going to say jump off a building and someone dies and then we get sued for it. So we have to be very non-direct. We have to basically act like a therapist would do,
right?
Where we suggest, like, you know, 80% of men would find a partner if they go to a date night or something like that. We're given suggestions, but it's up to you as the individual to follow that or ignore it, basically.
Right. Is it some sort of like mixture of experts model or something where you're using an LLM to check the LLM kind of thing? Or,
well, we're going to be using like reinforcement training over with the first phase. So we've got a list of questions that we ask the individual. And we're just basically, we're going to just see, because the first time we're going to launch this, it's not going to be good. It's, we need to train the model. No, every AI developer that I spoke to said, look, don't expect it to be the best straight away. So we're just experimenting with ideas how to like refine the model to become better. And then once we get it to a certain level, that's then when we will start now releasing it to the public. We just don't know how long it's going to take.
And is this something where you guys are training your own specific model, or is it more like you're using another model and using like, I don't know, RAG or something to help back up the data?
We're going to be using a lot of experts in this, like relationship experts, you know, to basically help us, assist us based on what would you do if you were like a relationship therapist,
right?
How would you go from A to B? And this is what we're learning a lot with the professionals at the moment. So it's just finding out how people are and how they react. And there's certain ways that you can actually map a person's personality, which I didn't even understand until like 2 weeks ago. And I think it's called, can't remember the exact name of it, but every human has like 16 different types of personality traits. And based on a set of questions, they know exactly what your personality is. And then obviously with that personality, then you can develop on top of it. So if you're an introvert or extrovert or no, there's just so much psychology into this. And it's I'm learning something new every single day regarding it.
Did you ever see that movie Her?
Like, I was about to come to that. I was going to say that. I've got an interesting story with this. Sure. My business partner, Andy Booth, we started in January and the first project was art. And then I was telling him about Her. I've only watched halfway through it, but I got excited from it. So I was telling him, no, watch it, watch it, watch it. So he did eventually watch it, and he just was like, I want to buy the domain right now. So he went away, bought girlfriend.io, and just went, right, Vincent, here's the name. Let's develop something. And I was like, wow, okay. So we are taking a deep dive into it. Obviously, with the movie, it's a bit negative because he falls in love with the AI operating system.
Yeah, it's not like designed to be a girlfriend. It's just an AI. Right.
Exactly.
Technically an AGI, right? But
exactly, yeah. So with the movie, she kind of gets to know him. And then I noticed with certain parts of the movie, when he's sad because he's going through a breakup, she's comforting him, like sending him messages, sending him pictures, writing songs for him. And this was like 11 years ago this movie was made. And we currently have this technology today to do exactly the same thing if we wanted to. Obviously not at that level, but we're getting very, very close to it.
Yeah, I thought that was really, if you guys haven't seen that movie, definitely go check it out. It's called Her. I've seen some things, like you see a lot of people using ChatGPT kind of out of the box as their like therapist, which I would not recommend. I mean, it's quote somebody to talk to, but it's not really a somebody, right? So you've got like character AI, mostly people making AIs that seem slightly like celebrities or.
Yeah, Elon Musk. And I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God, we don't need any more of those. I think one's enough for the planet.
No, exactly. Yeah.
But
the biggest part of this, though, is making the LLM sound realistic.
Yeah.
So, because when you're speaking to an LLM, you know you're speaking to a bot, basically. And this is what we're working on, is the human element to it, the responsiveness from the user. And what we're doing with Girlfriend is we're trying to make it feel as real as possible. We want the user to be immersed into the tech. And this is where we're going to find the secret sauce in this. And once we nail this is when it's going to feel like a real person. And I think once you blur the lines between that, this is when it goes very sci-fi, basically.
Right. definitely some interesting stuff going on in that space when you look at like customer service bots and things like that, mm-hmm. where you can interrupt the bot and it'll, you know, wait and then like respond differently, using systems to kind of really, really cut down on the response time. If you look at something like Sim Theory, where you can have, you know, use their bot to call, I forget what the name of the program they're using in it is, but you can have this bot that will go out and call, you know, make you a dinner appointment or reservation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a big delay, especially on introductions and stuff. Like the person answers the phone, they're like, hello. Hi, I'm Rachel. You know, like it's just too long.
The latency is the key with this. Yeah. And this is one of the biggest thing I spoke to the AI developers about. I said, the first thing is latency. We can't be delayed. No, if you're speaking to somebody, you need them to actually be processing as you're speaking. And it's we solved this type of thing, but it does require a lot of compute. That's your only trouble.
Yeah, well, you know what? The other thing with that, I mean, you guys obviously will know this already, but the idea is like if you're building an application right now and there is a lot of latency in it, there's not going to be a lot of latency 12 months from now, right? Yeah. Because the software will be faster. The chips will be faster, like making sure that your connection to the cloud and all those kind of things are optimized so that
mm-hmm.
you can cut down on that side of the latency because the processors will be able to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest problem is you're joining loads of dots together. So you've got like text to voice and then processing that and then it's sending it to the LLM, grabbing the response back, and then grabbing the response and turning it into a voice. And then also with this automatic voice detection, there's a lot of roadblocks that you have to try and avoid with this. But look at NVIDIA this week with the new hardware that they've released.
Yeah, they say it's 30 times faster.
Is it something crazy? 4 trillion parameters it can support. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the models that are going to come out, like your GPT-6 level model is going to be just off the charts, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's really interesting is people use a lot of things. Like you can hear what I'm thinking about, what I'm going to ask you. I'm slowing down my speech to give myself more time to think about it before I ask mm-hmm. you the question. Or people will use ums and ahs and filler words and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those could be worked in to help, you know, with lag time and stuff like that as well. But
exactly. This is the thing is like when you're talking to somebody, you hear, mm-hmm. And this could be a simple MP3 file.
Right.
So as you're speaking, but the thing is, what you can do to reduce the latency even more is that we know the questions we're going to ask you. So if it's a yes or no, no Boolean request, like is it yes or no, we can pre-render that, if you understand. Right. So if you say yes, we can instantly give you the response. And this is where if we ask the right questions in the right way, and we know there's only 2 responses, we can literally cache the response with this.
Yeah, and there's also that, you know, the idea from video games and stuff where it's only caching the assets it knows it's going to use in advance.
So exactly, yeah.
If it knows it's going to ask 1 of 3 questions coming up, you can process all those in advance and then have them kind of waiting in the wings, ready to go.
Exactly, but they have to be personalized for that person as well, because that response will be, you know, they'll be speaking back, you know, hey, Derek, or hey, Vincent. So it still requires a lot of compute to actually do this, but I'm sure we'll figure it out.
Yeah, so do you guys have anything else kind of waiting in the wings there? Are those your kind of 2 main projects right now? Art AI?
Still very early right now. We've got Sound.ai. which mm-hmm. we're in the very early doors right now. So we're planning to create a tool that can create sound effects or create song, lyrics, you name it. But we're still very, very early right now regarding
Did you see the 11 Labs sound effect generator?
Yes, saw them, yeah. So these guys are on our radar.
You guys got beat them to it.
To be fair, they're the top of the game right now.
I know, so they're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I don't even know what their valuation is right now, but that's a company. As soon as I used 11 Labs for the first time for voice, I was like, this is a game changer. Like, this is absolutely completely different than anything we've seen before, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've used a lot of voiceover tech over the years, you know, working in marketing. We have to make ads for people and stuff all the time and videos. And I've used every voice tech under the sun. And I saw that. It was like, you know, it's like magic, right? You're just like, it's like somebody shows you a magic trick that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And same with like Sono. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
The Music Maker, right? Sono.
Yeah. I think I used them last week, actually. I generated the lyrics in GPT, and then it was about my wife, and I put it into there, and then I just checked the prompts and put it in. And it was only on version 2. I was using the pre model, but it was still very good. But the version 3 is amazing. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't seen 3 yet.
Yeah, it's under a paywall at the moment, but you can do like 2 to 3 minutes of audio, and some of the stuff is just mind-blowing.
Nice. I might have to get in on that. We use music for ads all the time, and I usually use stock, but Brave New World, right?
But the question is, as this tech gets bigger and bigger, I mean, the jobs that people would normally pay for are like musicians. Now, if you normally hire a musician to write a jingle for your radio show or even your TV advert, now, in a few years, they won't need them anymore.
In the book, Will AI Take My Job?
Yeah. Nice segue.
Actually, no, I did talk about that in my book a bit. Here's prediction. You guys can hold me to this if you want. And this has always held true, at least, looking backwards to technology, is that the pendulum kind of swings both ways. As it swings towards AI doing more and more of those types of jobs, you won't go look for a stock music of something. You'll just say, generate me something that sounds like XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of kind of analog created, human created music, I think is also going to be kind of the luxury item of music, versus the commodity of anything that the system could make.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody says, well, what's going to happen when AI can just make any kind of music? Well, it won't be able to make any kind of music. It'll be able to make lots of kinds of music, but there's still going to be some things that it will have not thought of. No one will have thought to prompt it. Some combination of instruments and people and things that are just something where you got to listen to it as a human to say, yeah, okay, I get it. That's going to be something that's difficult to...
I've got a little prediction regarding music, and it's like with Michael Jackson, rest in peace. He's not going to produce any more music for us, but with time, we could sample every single one of his tracks, which hit number one worldwide, find an algorithm why it made it number one, and then generate one, the lyrics, and then two, the music, the hooks and everything. And then before you know it, it'll be number one worldwide because the AI knows what made this song special in the first place. And if you already look at like the Beatles, I think it was about 4 months ago, they released a track which was generated with AI because they had to like replicate the voices of John Lennon because his samples were so low quality. They used AI to up it as well. So this is just the infancy, but I do reckon there's going to be a time where you could just say, make me a Michael Jackson track, and then that would be our playlist, basically.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, but one thing that makes music chart-topping kind of music is timing, right? Mm-hmm. Some of that is about, if Michael Jackson's number one hit came out 10 years earlier or 10 years later, it wouldn't have been a hit, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not the structure of the music that makes it number one. Like, of course, the quality has to be there, and everything has to be there. And maybe it would still do well, but it wouldn't do as well because it wasn't timed appropriately.
It's more of nostalgia, won't it? It'll be.
Yeah, I think there's a timing to culture when it comes to art and music that is very, very, very specific. And I don't think it's immediately replicable, but I believe that there's also going to be a big rush of as AI gets broadcast quality that both with TV, movies, music, pretty much anything where people are going to use it to make stuff that's going to be popular. One person is going to make a blockbuster type movie, like a movie that, had a budget of $200 just to pay for the tools, kind of thing, but makes $1 million in the box office.
Yeah.
Someone is going to generate a song from a prompt that makes $1 million, right? Like these things are going to happen for sure. But there's also going to be a billion other songs that don't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, it's just like you said, being there at the right place at the right time. And the same with Sora with OpenAI's. It's my son's currently in college. He's learning how to make movies and directors.
Right.
And I was explaining to him on the phone a few days ago that in the future, when Sora is released, your B-roll that you can use is going to say you don't have to buy any gimbals, you don't have to buy any drones to get aerial footage. It's just a prompt, and you can actually include that as part of your movie. So I think you will see a higher quality in these like student movies, and then eventually with time, like Hollywood will start using it, because why pay for an expensive drone or an expensive crew when you can actually get it yourself, basically?
Yeah, well, you could do something like Wonder Studio right now, where you could just run around, shoot all the scenes with yourself in it, and then replace yourself with the 3D model of whatever character that is the actual character, and off you go. And that's something you could do now. And you can even look at something like the character mapping that they're using with the studio quality tools, where it's not just remapping the character's face to say the words that they wanted, like changing the words around and having the character's face redone. They can actually take like whatever the emotions that they were expressing and map the emotions to a new scene, so they can have, you know, change the character from happy to sad, even without reshooting.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, that kind of
tech crazy.
Is crazy too, right? As well as all the foreign films now are being redone in English. Well, foreign for me, right? For, you know, US and Canadian audiences and British audiences. All the foreign films or foreign language films are being redone in other languages, but then they're using the technology to map their mouth to the language. So then it looks like the characters are actually saying the things. And then, you know, bye-bye subtitles, right? And
yeah, I saw a lot of YouTubers actually show this tech where they can actually change their, you know, their videos into Hindi or Spanish. And it looks, you tell it's not quite there, but it's still pretty impressive right now. So imagine in 6 months or a year's time what the technology is going to be like.
Yeah, I mean, we already transcribe our podcast into three languages with GPT.
Wow.
You know, so the next step is going to be redoing it, the language and the audio in another language. I don't know if I need to get like a contract or something for that. You know, like, yeah, Vincent, do you agree? Sign here for me to convert your voice into 10 languages or whatever.
I don't know, but yeah. Let's see. Question
for the lawyers. Vincent, it's been great talking to you. I know we kind of went a little bit over time. We could probably talk all day about this, but if somebody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do it?
Best way is to hit the website right now, which is cognitive.ai. And if you want to be a part of the beta for art.ai, the domain is art.ai. And what we're doing is regarding art is that you can pre-register. And then once we release the first release, you'll be able to grab your handle. So it could be art.ai/Matt. If you get there early, you're going to get your nice little handle on there. And so cognitive.ai, there's links on there to my LinkedIn. So if you want to connect, you're more than welcome to as well.
Perfect. Vincent, I appreciate you being on the show today.
Nice to meet you as well, Matt.
This voiceover used to be done by a human, but now it is synthetic. Ooh la la. If you want to know if your job or business is safe from disruption, read Matt's new book. Will AI Take My Job? Predictions about AI in corporations, small business, and the workplace. Available now on Amazon. Trust me, it'll be worth it. Remember to tap like, subscribe, and follow to never miss a show.